Thank you, thank you. Well, thank you, Senator Harris. And how can I say thank you any more sincerely than to say that my heart runneth over with the gratitude and the appreciation of a friend. And thank you, Senator Mondale. Thank you, my champion. And thank you, you two co-chairmen, for this brilliant leadership that you give all of us, that you give to the Congress, that you symbolize and represent in our country. I am so proud of my co-chairman and our committee and every person in this gathering today. Thank you. And here we are, just as we ought to be. Here we are, the people. Here we are in the spirit of dedication. Here we are the way politics ought to be in America, the politics of happiness, the politics of purpose, and the politics of joy. And that's the way it's going to be to all the way from here on out. My fellow Americans, we're here today on important business. Freedom's business, America's business, the Democratic Party's business, and in that order. These priorities of freedom, country, and party have guided me as I have sought to reach an important personal decision. Any man who has had the privilege of spending almost 4 years near the president and the presidency, as I have, must weigh very carefully the implications of seeking an office that demands perhaps more judgment, wisdom, and maturity than any single man possesses. Yet any man who has spent a lifetime, at least who has spent his adult life in public service, as I have, also knows within himself that he must be willing to give of himself when and where he feels he can best serve what he believes in. And so, my friends and fellow Americans, facing and knowing the hard realities of the office, yet also knowing the potential for good which lies within it, I shall seek the nomination of the Democratic Party. Like it or not, you have him. Yes, as I said, I shall seek the nomination of the Democratic Party for the presidency of the United States. My credentials, well, they may be stated rather simply. Of a loving family, teacher, mayor of my city, senator from my state, vice president of my country, grateful husband, proud father, believer in the American dream and the concept of human brotherhood. In his address of almost 4 weeks ago, President Johnson acted bravely and beyond all personal interest to bring unity to America and to bring peace to Southeast Asia. We do not yet know. We do not yet know the outcome of the president's great initiative for peace in Asia. But we are hopeful, but without illusion. Only time and events will give the answer. We do know, however, that in our country, a sense of balance has been restored. We know the president, by his action, has given us all a chance once again to see ourselves and our country in proper perspective. And when seen in that perspective, I believe Lyndon Johnson's presidency will loom large in history for its dramatic leadership towards social progress, human opportunity, and peace. The president's action has served to dramatize our most urgent requirement, the unity of our people, not unity at the expense of personal freedom, not at the expense of diversity, not at the expense of dissent. For we do not demand, nor should we, an America of one mind. What we seek is an America of one spirit. We seek an America able to preserve and nurture all the basic rights of free expression, yet able to reach across the divisions that today too often separate race from race, region from region, young from old, worker from scholar, rich from poor. We seek an America able to do this in the higher knowledge that our goals and ideals are worthy of conciliation and personal sacrifice. For without unity, we shall begin to doubt not only ourselves, but our goals and ideals. With unity, I am convinced these goals and ideals can be achieved. Which brings me to the questions that I have been asking myself. What do these times call for? What are the possibilities of the future? And how should I now proceed? Well, the time has come to speak thoughts deeply felt, but not often said by millions of Americans. The time has come to speak out on behalf of America, not a nation that has lost its way, but a restless people, a great nation striving to find a better way. Time has come to put aside selfish ambition and pettiness, to forget old fears and animosities, and to bring forth from our midst tolerance, understanding, and mutual trust. The time has come to recognize that this nation has more strength than weakness, more hope than despair, more faith than doubt, and that we have more chance than any nation in previous history to master the problems that we face. The time has come for those who share a deep and abiding belief in the purpose and potentialities of this nation to say, I love my country. Yes, the time has come to express in our way, in our time, a new American patriotism, not a patriotism expressed alone in flags and parades, but in a willingness to get down to the hard, tiring, endless work that every generation before us has paid out to keep alive the vision of what America can do. And the time has come, in short, to reaffirm once more that we can do whatever we must do to carry forth the unfinished, peaceful American Revolution. And then comes the question of our vision. What is it? What shall it be? If we can mobilize the human resources to bring unity among ourselves, what are the possibilities? Let me state them as I see them. Well, I believe this nation can finally break across the threshold of what no previous society has ever dared dream or achieve. The building of a social order of both freedom and compassion, of both enterprise and peace. I believe we can finally create a nation where human equality and human opportunity not only exist side by side, but nourish and reinforce each other. A nation where every citizen may participate on equal terms in every aspect of being and doing that which relates to self-respect. I believe we can make law and order not only compatible with justice and human progress, but their unflinching guardians. And I believe that we can build cities and neighborhoods where all our citizens may walk together in safety and in pride and in the spirit of true community. I believe we can, and I know we must, maintain the strength needed to protect our own national security and to meet our international commitments. But I believe, too, in the practical possibilities of peace. I believe that free men, through the exercise of their own will, can narrow the dangerous gap between the rich nations and the poor, can even end the scourge of hunger, can slow down and halt the dangerous spiraling arms race, and can treat and reduce the basic causes of tension and conflict in the world. I believe that through our leadership, we can strengthen the United Nations and other international institutions and make them real everyday forces for peace. Yes, I believe that this strong, rich, and idealistic nation of ours can help to create a broader world society in which human values may one day rule supreme. And I mean a world society of independent and free nation states, where the individual and not the institution or the party comes first. I mean a world society where every child's future lies open ahead, and where he can be a free man and answer ultimately to no one but to God and his conscience. A dream, yes. A hope, yes. Because America is both a dream and a hope for ourselves and for others. All of this is what I believe our America can help achieve. If we will only remember who and what we are and why this country came into being and what it is we really set out to do. Now, I know full well the limitations of such a testament. I know that it says more of ideals than it does of practicalities, and more of high purposes than of ways and means. This I know. There is nothing here that I've said of dollar balances, of inflationary pressures, tight money, loose morals, farm policy or labor laws, conservation, housing, health, social security, jobs, and a great deal more of infinite importance. In fact, most of the time of my time for the past quarter century has gone into working at these problems. I know them. I know them, and I have some ideas about how they can be challenged. And during the coming months in my campaign and your campaign, I shall express these ideas. But today I thought we would do well to begin this great pursuit and adventure, this cause that is ours, to begin by looking at the stars. For, my friends, there is guidance in the pursuit of great ideals and energy in the pursuit of great ideas. And now to the business of getting elected. Let me share with you my thoughts. The people who voted for me as vice president had every right to expect a full 4 years service in that office. Thus, in the weeks ahead, I want you to know that I shall place high priority upon that call to service, and I shall continue to fulfill to the best of my abilities the duties of my office and the responsibilities that have been placed upon me. I shall, as the president has, observe the absolute priority of peace over politics. I shall do my utmost to contribute to a broad, reasoned national dialogue devoted not to personalities, but to issues which may at once benefit, educate, and inform both the American people and the Democratic Party. For 1968, this year, is not the year for frenzied or inflammatory rhetoric, nor is it the year for searching out and seeking and finding scapegoats for our problems. I submit that 1968 is the year for common sense to the American people. It is a time requiring in every person, in every post, in every area of leadership, maturity, restraint, and responsibility. And it should be a time of great confidence. And above all, my friends, let's make it a time for public happiness in this nation. So you may understand the ground rules of my effort. I will resist the temptation, and successfully so, to deceive either the people or myself. I have been too close to the presidency to believe that the solutions to our complex and difficult problems are either simple or easy. And I know the answers do not come quickly. But what concerns me is not just winning the nomination, but how it is to be won. The man who wins the nomination must be able first to unite his party. And the man who unites his party must above all be able to unite and govern his nation. You can rest assured that I intend to fight hard and clean for the nomination. But I do not and will not divide either my party or my country. In this great effort, I shall do my best. And I ask no less of those who will join me. For democracy is only what democracy gets done. We don't get just what we stand for. We get what we earn and what we work for. In the full knowledge of the challenges that lie within both the campaign and the high office, I enter this course with a resolve and a determination to win. And I shall base everything that I do on one conviction, that this country, we the people of these United States, working in a spirit of unity, can overcome any obstacle in finally realizing the fullness of freedom, the prize of peace, and the happiness of human opportunity, both here and in the world. My fellow Americans, we are the people of today. We are the people of tomorrow. And it is to the future that we look and we aspire. And I found some words that told me exactly what I want to tell you. And you'll find them inscribed in great literature. The future has several names. For the weak, it is the impossible. For the faint-hearted, it is the unknown. For the thoughtful and the valiant, it is ideal. The challenge is urgent. The task is large. The time is now. On to victory. Some of the offspring, some of the family. We couldn't bring the grandchildren here, but we'll get them around later on. Well, that Humphrey family, could you ladies there just, I think they're at the table.